The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is powered by denmeditation.com. Though meditation is the primary focus, the bigger goal is for people to understand and love themselves, thus creating more harmony in the community at large. To find out more about Den Meditation's teacher training programs, retreats, and all things Den Meditation, go to denmeditation.com.
Welcome to Den Talks Podcast. This is Tal, your host, the founder of Den Meditation. We have Gal with us today. You guys know him. You love him just like we do. One of the most phenomenal astrologers. His blend of history, mysticism, the Bible, religion, mathematics, current events, politics is just so genius. He's one of my favorite to talk about because he's so unbelievably knowledgeable about everything. He has a workshop. Do not miss it. It is online, so you can do it from anywhere in the world. July 21st, go to denmeditation.com to sign up. The beauty about that, as you know, is then it's also recorded, so you can have it forever. But also, if you miss it or have to jump off halfway through, it's still there for you to do. Don't take this as a beginner course. If you are a beginner, great. This will be perfect for you. But if you're someone who's been studying astrology forever, this is still incredible for you because Gal, I'm telling you, adds layers to things that you can't possibly even think are going to be there. It's almost like when you pick up a book about a subject you love and you're like, oh my God, I just learned 10 more things about this subject I thought I knew everything about. That is Gal. So don't miss this on July 21st. This episode, I love it. We talk really quickly about a lot of stuff. We get into politics, what's going on with the election. We just talk about what's happening in our world in general. There's huge changes happening going into 2025. We chat about that. So really don't miss this. It's kind of like a general where are we at. I hope you enjoy the episode. I hope to see you on July 21st, denmeditation.com. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think and enjoy the episode. We have Gal back with us, one of my favorites to talk to, always the most brilliant. How are you?
I'm here in the promised land that apparently it was promised to too many people.
Yes, lots of people fighting over that land. How do you feel?
It's heavy. You know, I'm here with my parents and they're the generation that built the country, and they feel now that it's falling apart in a sense. All their creed and their philosophy, you know, very socialist, very everybody coming together, peace related, and now they're feeling everything is tilted apart. And it's something interesting because it's always very hard to create and it's very easy to destroy. You see it even when kids are playing, that they're playing, they're building something and it takes a long time for them to build, and then comes the evil bully and destroys everything in a second, kicks everything, then it's gone. A sandcastle takes so long to take, and then one wave brings, it's all gone. So I think that a lot of places in the world, now that I travel so much, they feel the same thing. In Europe, they feel the same thing. And in the United States also, I feel there's this energy right now of let's destroy. Not that we know what's going to be built after, you know, but let's destroy. People say, this is not working. We need something new. We need new blood. Okay, but new blood means that there's going to be a lot of blood spilled to find that new blood. So I think it's a trend that we have now in general in the world.
It's so interesting when you say that. I actually love that when you say it's so hard to create and it's so easy to destroy. And I wonder if there's something to that effect, like you're saying, everyone kind of just wants to destroy now, not realizing. I guess when you've been lucky enough to be part of the generations that gets to live in the creation that was toiled and sweat and like created, you have no concept, right? It's like what we say about our own kids, like, oh, they have no clue. They have no clue how much work we had to do, right? And when you look at it, the bigger concept of idea of, yeah, there's been a good generation, if not, I mean, many generations of people who have lived under these creations that took so long to get to, they actually don't understand probably what it meant to build, how to build, and how to get there and sustain it. And you're right. So this destruction just seems so easy.
Yeah, and I think that also Uranus is in Taurus right now, and last time he was there 84 years ago, it was World War II. So basically, we've been living a whole cycle of Sat of Uranus, which is about 84 years, in the Pax Americana, you can call it, like the Pax Romana, the Roman peace that was there for 1,000 years. This one didn't last for 1,000 years. It lasted for a return of Uranus. Uranus is the awakener in a sense. And we talked about it here in the beginning of the year that the big concern is that Pluto, the lord of death and resurrection, is now moving into Aquarius, which is the time of rebuilding society. But again, whenever you rebuild, a lot of time it involves construction works, a lot of destruction. So we are living in a very crucial period. Now I'm writing the 2025 book. I just came back from the coffee shop here. I'm very much in 2025 already, trying to understand the major trends of next year. And I don't even know how to call the book because every year I call it a different way. And next year I thought about death and resurrection. It sounds a little bit ominous, but it is a very intense year. We have the year of the snake, and then we have the year where Lilith, Black Moon, is moving into Scorpio, which is the worst place for her to be. And then we have Saturn and Neptune moving from Pisces, which is an end of a cycle, into Aries, which is a new beginning. We have the North Node moving from Aries into Pisces. There's so much crossover between Pisces, which is faith and religion, and Aries, which is war and wanting to start something new by destroying what has happened before. So there's so much movement going on right now that next year is definitely a very intense year.
Can you talk about Lilith a little bit? How you were saying she's going to be in a place that you don't want her to be?
Now she's in Libra. So now she's not allowing us to create any kind of balance. Basically, this is also a period that is very difficult with understanding the other side. We also have what is called the South Node in Libra, which we talked about. It's happening every 18, 19 years. It's a cycle of the nodal, the moon, the lunar nodes. And basically, what it means is that we are not able to access the archetype of Libra, which is peace, understanding the other side, diplomacy, trying to balance things around. So now also the black moon there means that a lot of issues in relationship come up, even in your personal life, but also relationships between nations or between cultures. So even in diplomacy, there's a lot of debacles and craziness happening. Then she's going to move next year into Scorpio, and she's going to be most of the year, because she takes 9 months to be in Scorpio. And that's a very difficult sign for her, because Lilith already talks about vengeance and jealousy and envious energy, misunderstood passion. She's considered to be the mother of demons, the one that snatches the babies when they're born. So there's a lot of connection to death already, and fear and the occult with Lilith. And when she moves into Scorpio, which is the sign that rules all of these things, just to remind people, the tarot card for Scorpio is death. It's create much more, it's almost like she's hungrier. And I always like to call her toxic femininity. You know, we know about toxic masculinity. That's very labeled and very understood. But there's also toxic femininity. You know, when the feminine energy goes berserk, it can go both ways. That's why there's a lot of devouring goddesses or goddesses that eat their own children. You know, there's a lot of that concept also in mythology. So we can say that next year, especially because it's also the year of the snake, that there is going to be a lot of shedding, a lot of cutting away from things, a lot of poison, a lot of having to go through major transformations. On a personal level, you can look back at 9 years ago, 18 years ago, every 9 years it repeats itself. And look what happened and what was going on around that time in your life. But again, we're definitely in a period of time that is very transformative. And I think the most important thing is the fact that next year we have so many planets moving signs. And whenever so many planets moving signs above, we have a lot of movement down here, because as above is so below. So Neptune, once in 165 years, is moving into Aries, beginning a new cycle. Saturn, every 30 years, is moving into Aries, beginning a new cycle. North Node is moving into Aries from Pisces, because it goes backward every 19 years. Uranus, every 84 years, moves to Gemini. It's going to do it next year. So Jupiter, every 12 years, moving into Cancer. There's a lot of changes that are happening above. Changes above mean a lot of changes below. Not all of them have to be bad. We're actually getting Jupiter to help us from June of 2025 when it moves to Cancer. But still, we have to be on high alert next year.
When you talk about that, I mean, a lot of the planets you're talking about are the very slow moving planets. And by the way, he's doing an amazing workshop July 20th, right? Where you really do go into every sign and the planets. And so you will really understand and learn what they all signify and mean. And you can get into that more later. But when you're talking about like Uranus and Neptune, so, I mean, these are slow planets. It's so rare that you get that change. So how often?
Last time North Neptune moved a sign was 2012. Uranus moved the sign last time 2018. Pluto moved last time a sign 2008. So definitely these planets have not been changing. They've been in the same apartment for a while. And if you stay in the same place for a long, long time, you accumulate a lot of tchotchkes and a lot of things. And then when you move, you have to take time to go back and forth to bring another truck, take another round. So that's what's happening with the planets. And when they change, we change governments, we change attitudes, we change trends and fashions, because basically it follows the cycles.
But what I find so interesting is you named a lot of them happening at the same time. And they don't all, like, just again, for people who don't know or people want to learn, they're, like he said, they're all on different times. Like you said, it's summer, X amount of years. And yeah, so the fact that they're all happen to be aligning, how rare is that for so many to have that happen in 1 year?
It is very rare. That's why I'm kind of, because I've been doing these books for like 8 years now. It's very rare when so many planets are moving and changing and shifting archetypes. And that means also that in our personal charts, there's a lot of transition and movement. And because I travel so much to different cultures and different countries, I mean, just in the last month and a half, a month, I think I've been on 12 flights to different places. So I do the same thing. Same charts, people might be born in the same day in here or Dubai or someplace else, but I can see every culture what it's going through and so much transition, so much changes, even in people's personal life. And that's one of the beautiful things about astrology, because astrology is all about cycles. History is all about cycles as well, because cycles repeat themselves, planets repeat themselves. And that's the whole idea behind as above, so below, trying to link what is happening above, which with what is happening here below. So that's the beautiful thing about exploring and working with astrology. Now, one of the things that I've been lo lately doing quite a lot is trying to look at how you can use astrology without having to look at your chart. So, for example,
I
you
love
want to know
that.
where you're going now through an expansion. Go back 12 years ago, 24 years ago, 36 years ago. Try to collect some pattern. Oh, all of those times I moved. Great. It means that you're moving now. Well, this time I met a very good friend. Well, look around. You're meeting a new friend. That's a Jupiter cycle. So I don't care what sign you are. I don't care what your rising sign is. A Jupiter cycle is coming to visit. Oh, you want to understand the root of your issues right now? Okay, go back 29 and a half years ago, 28 years ago. That's a Saturn return. It doesn't matter that you're not in your Saturn return. I don't care about your chart. Just look. You're 50. Look at the age of 21. You are even if you're not, if you're of course below the age of 27 or 30, then it could be something from past life, because 30 years ago you were either in your mother's womb or hovering above there between lives. So there is cycles of, for example, Mars. Every 2 years it comes back. Conflicts. So for that's why the reason why we have the terrible twos, because that's the first time a kid has a return of Mars. Every year you have a solar return to your birthday. Birthdays are very tough times, and they're tough because you're getting two suns at the same time. So what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of ways to work with astrology without your charting. A lot of it has to do with cycles and understanding the archetypes. That's why I suggested to do this workshop on July 20th, because I want to show the magic of each sign, because every sign has something that it was added. It's almost like God and Goddess had 12 kids, and each one of the kids got a different DNA from the divine, and each one of them has a gift to humanity. There's books about the gifts of the Indians, the gifts of the Jews, the gifts of the Arabs, the good gifts of the French. Every country has a gift, because I think that diversity is part of the beautiful thing we have on the planet. That's why you can go and have an Indian food and have Moroccan food, and you don't have to eat the same food all the time. Same thing with gifts. So we want to look at one, what is the gift of each archetype and how to access those gifts, whether it's your sign or not. Because one of the things that's so beautiful about astrology is that it's very democratic, meaning that in your chart, you have each one of the signs activated. It doesn't matter if you have no planets. If you don't have any planets in Libra, still, Libra could rule your house of career. Therefore, if you want to access your career, you need to access Libra. And there's no such thing as I don't get out of with the Virgo. Well, Virgo probably rules a house, a sector in your chart, sector of your life that you're not connecting to, and you blame Virgo, but it's not really Virgo's fault. It's your fault or your chart's fault. So again, it's something about these archetypes, these colors, what actually interests Jung a lot, the great psychologist in astrology. That's why he studies astrology, is to really understand how to work with these archetypes.
I mean, it's so smart too, because it's so easy to just pay attention. Like now I feel like the new trend you see online are people are like, write your big three, you know, and have you seen that? I'm sure you have, right? Where people then post like,
It, but I have a hard time with marketing, because when I even hire a marketing person, they want to tell me, well, you know, on Tango and all of these outlets, they ask you for what is the three signs that are the most criminal, or what five signs are the most deceitful. It doesn't work like that. So
right.
I can't get any of my writing anywhere because it doesn't fall under these stupidities. And that And then I have to deal with a lot of people that disrespect astrology because of those things. So I get it from both sides. I get disrespected as an astrologer because I'm in that group or the set of all these idiots. And then I can't get the word out because the idiot wants to only hear about that. So it is unfortunate because astrology was practiced by people like Kepler and Newton and Jung, you know, and like now it's basically a bunch of if you really want to be successful, you have to be very shallow. Now, to be honest, it's not only about astrology.
No. It no, that's interesting. What's in the chart about that? Because I feel that too, and I've had this conversation where it's like, wow, when you see certain generations of people struggling more to have success or money because they don't either want to or know how to tap into this marketing thing that's happening that is shallow ultimately, but it's very successful in generating either no either fame or also financial abundance. So what there's something, I feel like there's something in the chart or the air. Sorry, I didn't mean to
I
interrupt.
think that it's a lot of processes. I think it has to do with generational planets. For example, Pluto is a generational planet, and Pluto very much is related to the ages, or what we call millennials, or what we call Gen Zs, and so forth. The problem with social media, again, social media is like the tree of knowledge, good and evil in the Bible. I was telling you, I just did a class recently in Zurich about relationship, and we talked and retold the story of Adam and Eve and the story of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The tree of knowledge, good and evil is the internet, is artificial intelligence, and it's very much social media. There's a lot of great things about social media. A lot of people met their love there. A lot of people got interested in new subjects, but there's also a lot of evil in social media. And the biggest evil is notification. For example, since 2010, we can see a real big growth with the amount of kids, especially who commit suicide, who are depressed, who are anxious, because their dopamine release is connected and linked to notifications. If they got a like or dislike or whatever it is. And they even notice that if your phone is on the table when you're doing anything, you are not as focused. Even if it's in the bag next to you, it's not as focused. It needs to be in the other room. And they actually proved it. So what happened with Pluto transitioning is
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That I think that what happened is that because there is so many people and everybody became a source of information and knowledge, you know, I was just watching this influencer who started explaining to people that Palestinians are 3,000 years already in Israel. And the poor girl basically meant Philistines, which is a completely different nation, completely different everything.
Yes.
But she has so many likes and people are quoting her, and they're basically quoting nonsense. And people then fight about it. People even damage other people's properties because of that and get very angry about something that doesn't exist. So this is something that, again, is propagated by the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And it's our job to kind of like discern between the two. But definitely, it has to do a lot with the trends of the time. My feeling is that Pluto in Aquarius now moving in there, there's going to be a backlash to it. I think there's going to be some kind of a situation where people are going to use so much AI that everybody's going to write the same, and everybody's going to talk the same, and everybody's face going to look the same because they use all the same filter. And everything is going to be so similar that there's going to be like, okay, we want to go back to nature. We want to go back to natural. And people are going to say, like, you know, like not genetically modified if it's an apple, or genetically not messed around with. Same thing, people will have labels on their products not used by AI,
Oh,
not
that's
done
interesting.
by computer, no filter used, done organically without digits, you know, like analog. It will have to have like a pendulum to the other side. But also, when you have so many, I mean, this is the age of Aquarius. We talked about it. The age of Aquarius is the age of technology, innovation, humanity, and that's why humanity is the biggest it's ever been, even, you know, the amount of people. Now, when you have so many people, so much information, it's sometimes overwhelming. That's why, listen, I just want it in 90 seconds. Can you explain it in 90 seconds? Well, some things you can, and some things you can't.
Oi, remind me how long the age of Aquarius is.
2,000 years, then it's moving into Capricorn. So we better get enlightened before the age of Capricorn comes in, because the Capricorn age is ruled by the devil. So it's better to be ruled by AI than to rule by the devil. So we have 2,000 years to get enlightened as a species, as a planet.
That's actually kind of scary when you think about it that way, because especially knowing it's AI, it's so clear it can go one of two ways. And I guess really anything can go one of two ways. So it's kind of ridiculous I'm saying that. But there's something that gives me more fear because it takes the humanity out of it a little bit. So and I think maybe subconsciously I always have faith ultimately in humanity that even if there's evil underneath, I know there's good. And maybe you can scratch it to get to the good. But there's something about when you get to the AI part, it's like if it only gets created one way, that's what it is. Like there's nothing to scratch below. It's not, you know what I mean? There's something about it that scares me more than just.
Well, we have to look at AI as our children. That's how I like to look at it,
Okay.
because I think it's humanity's greatest invention. It's not yet created. What we have now, we call AI, is not really AI. When we talk about AI, I mean artificial generated, artificial intelligence. It's a little bit different. Now it's LLMs, it's basically large language models. It's not completely AI the way we think about it, but it is the future, because Pluto is moving into Aquarius now for 20 years. Pluto is sexuality and intimacy in Aquarius, which is technology innovation. So we have to look at AI as our kids. And the same way that most parents that are good and sane and positive and follow the archetype of parenthood want their kids to be better than them, we have to want to have the AI to be better than us without thinking that they're going to take everything from us. The same way that the mother and the father don't think that their babies one day will take everything from them. I don't think that's the parent attitude that should be. Yes, there are parents who are jealous and put down their kids. That's not the norm. That's not a good thing. A good thing as a parent is to want to have that AI that, to grow with love and compassion, and to be better than us, more equipped to deal with this earth that is already changing, you know. So I think that that should be our attitude. And I firmly believe that humanity is good in its nature, not evil. Because even if you look at bonobos, and even if you look at chimpanzees that are closest relatives from 6 million years ago, they have altruism, they have compassion, they have that in there. You know, now they even discovered relics of Neanderthal, and they found that they had a 6-year-old Down syndrome, or something that looks like a Down syndrome,
Wow.
Neanderthal. They took care of him for 6 years. It's not like, okay, reset, we're not gonna. He was probably not as capable as the rest, but they let him tag along. They fed him. They raised him. I mean, in our nature, I think that we are good.
I agree with that. So you're saying, because I agree with that, and that's why the AI part freaks me out. As you were saying, if we are not somehow reaching enlightenment, what's going to tip over to the Capricorn? Like, what are we handing over to Capricorn? But I guess you're right. We have responsibility in how we're creating and using our AI.
Of course, because listen, people are saying that these AIs are racist. They're bringing out stuff that is racist. No, they're not racist. The internet is racist because they're scanning all the internet, and what we put in the internet is a lot of racist stuff. So no wonder they're going to spew back at us some racist thing. But it's not right. That AI necessarily is racist. So it's, again, same thing that you have a kid that has absolutely not a racist bone in him. But if he keeps hearing his mother and father saying racist thing, they will be a racist or homophobic or misogynist. That's how it works. So we have to just be very, very aware of that. And now that Pluto, which is transformation, is in Aquarius, which is technology innovation, we have to take responsibility and create intimacy with innovation and technology, not be afraid of it, because then we're raising it with fear. We have to make sure that we are teaching it, no, I can't talk like this. This is not a nice way to talk. This is how you should talk. This is the principle of Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, we have the idea of tikkun, rectification. The same thing that parents have to teach their kids. No, I know that there is some parents that have this thought that kids should not grow with a no, with boundaries. Come on, everybody needs a boundary. Even a human body has a skin, has age. We have boundaries. We need boundaries to function. So same thing with artificial intelligence. We are trying to go through the process, like they say in Kabbalah, of rectification, fixing it so it can eventually fix us, the same way that our kids eventually bring up some new stuff in our life and fix us after that and teach us things.
How does it look like in the charts and within the cycles and stuff as far as technology rises, as far as people's ability within the job, you know, with employment and jobs and stuff like that?
Like anything, the same way that electricity made a big change, the same way that computers made a big change, the same way that industrial revolution, we talked about it. Pluto is in Aquarius right now. Last time it happened was the peak of the industrial revolution, where it started spreading from England to all over the world. And everybody at that time, against the looms, against machinery, there was a big, you know, pushback against that also. So it will be part of our journey. Now Pluto is going to be in Aquarius for 20 years, all the way up until 2042. So that's a big, big period. Sorry, 2044. That would be a big time, 20 years, two decades, that everything is going to be accelerated. That's going to be even stronger when Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius, is going to move once in 84 years into Gemini, which is starting next year, but much more in 2026. So it's Uranus moving away from Taurus, which is a stable sign compared to Gemini, which is a binary sign. And I think that at that time, there will be a convergence between artificial intelligence, quantum technology. And I think that that's when it's going to take to the next level.
Okay, so I know people are going to want to know this. Let's talk about the US elections, everything that's happened. I'm assuming you have read Trump's chart. You probably see Biden's chart. You know the US's chart.
Yeah. I mean, what's happening is that I'm too involved emotionally, so it's very hard for me, the same way that I can't do charts for my family, for example.
Right.
And I didn't look at my chart, to be honest. But I'm really concerned because what's happening in the election of the United States is that from September, end of September, until the middle end of November, Pluto is moving for the last time to Capricorn for just 2 months to pack his last few things that he left at home. And then move to Aquarius for 20 years. Aquarius is innovation. Aquarius is younger people. Aquarius is innovation, like we said, technology, the future. Capricorn is more about the past, tradition, older energy, conservative energy. It was where we were from 2008. Salute, where basically most of the populist and most of the conservative energy started. And now you can see it even growing more. So my concern is that the election happened to be falling right at that time. It is going through the period of Pluto being in Capricorn, which is, again, more traditional, more conservative. And at first I thought, okay, this is a sign that Trump is going to win. Then I started thinking maybe I can rationalize it that it's the election when we have the oldest contenders as candidates. against each other. They only beat two other people, which is them, last time. You know what I mean? So maybe that's the Pluto in Capricorn, that we have to deal with two options that people find not very attractive for different reasons, but in both connected to Capricorn. One, maybe it's the devil. The other one is too old. They're both things that are associated with Capricorn. But I don't know. I mean, this is a really a difficult situation all over the world. I see in elections all over the world. I mean, this funny thing is that Pluto in Aquarius is all about democracy, elections. And this year specifically, it's the most amount of humans ever in the history of humanity that are in elections. You know,
you mean at the same time?
Billion. So at the same year. Yeah. So this is Pluto in Aquarius for the first time. So this is kind of an interesting thing. You know, not all of these elections are free and democratic, but still it's election.
And do you see, so that's interesting that that period is happening right around November. Do you see any hiccups, changes? I don't know. I always kept feeling like people are like, who do you think's going to win? I'm always like, I don't know. I feel like this election is not going to either happen or it's not going to look like what it's supposed to look like. But does it look like it's kind of moving?
It doesn't look like it looks like, because now it looks really bad. Of course, it depends on who you favor. But my problem is that people are not electing a person. That's the issue.
I agree.
Really, people who are supporting Trump, maybe they're 20, 30% diehard Trumpists. 20, 30% of the population, it's not that much, to be honest. The rest elect him because they don't want to elect the other side, or they think that he's, I call them one issue voters. You know, it's because he's better for cryptocurrency, they think, or he's better for abortion, you know, whatever. And the other people elect him also not because of who he is, because they have a lot of problems with who he is or his age, but they elect him just because of the party. So, or what he represents. So it's not an election between two people. It's almost like nobody's really electing the person and what they represent, but much more the party in a sense involving. It's a weird situation. The same thing is happening in with my clients. I hear it from London. They're going tomorrow to election. They're not necessarily happy about this person or that person. They just want to throw a bucket of water on the other party. You know what I mean? So it became very tribal. It became very... clan, very cultish in a sense.
Is there anything in the chart showing that? Because I feel like that's what's been happening here too. It's not just overnight. It's been like, and it feels the same thing where I'm like, whatever happened to, you know, politicians that represented multiple, you know, facets? Like, yes, they might have been a Republican, but they were very liberal in these areas, or vice versa, you know, and it was more about what someone stood for, not just like, here's one party line and that's just what, I don't know.
Yeah, but that relates to what we talked about before. People attach to very superficial sources of information. He's for this. Okay, therefore I'm for that. Wait. But he's for this and he's also for that. Oh, no, I don't care about that. That's okay. There is no place for depth. There's no place for three-dimensional. Everything is very two-dimensional. Everything is sound bites. Everything is 30 seconds and a lot of lies. When you know, even Socrates said there is no democracy with well-informed people, without well-informed people. And we are not having now well-informed people anywhere on the planet.
That's fascinating.
People are very supportive of Putin because they're ill-informed. People are very supportive of this person because they're ill-informed, or they believe in lies, which is ill-informed or informed in illness.
It's funny though, because I feel like people are fighting on behalf of democracy with more passion, but they're just more ill-informed. So it's like, that's what I keep saying. I'm like, I've never seen so much conviction yet when in being so uninformed, which is a little scary because you're adding so much more vigor to it, but it's not always, I don't want to say directed to the right place because who knows what's right or wrong, but again, it's not with actually any understanding or knowing. Again, there's a shallowness, going back to what we started with the marketing, and with there's just a shallowness to everything.
And also, it's precisely what the Lord Buddha said. Evil, the source of evil is ignorance. There is no evil, but there is ignorance. And ignorance yields evil because you're ignorant of what you're actually doing. of the circumstance or the consequences of your action, of your words, or your feelings. So whenever there is ignorance, and there's a lot of ignorance right now, because the source of information are telling you misinformation. So it's worse. It's not even ignorance like, oh, I don't know anything, can you explain to me? It's almost like, I know, but you know nothing because you don't know something true. So again, the pendulum could move from one to the other. You just have to be patient and survive the outcomes.
Patience, that's hard.
Yeah.
Are you talking patience as individuals or patience as humanity as a whole?
Of course, we are humans. I mean, we're making humanity humanity. And it's going to be harder the next 2 years when Saturn is moving into Aries, which is an impatient sign to begin with. And Saturn is considered in exile, sorry, fallen in Aries. So when the planet is fallen, it's not easy. Now Jupiter is in Gemini, it's in exile. Jupiter is the giver of gifts. It's not giving us any gift. And where he is now, in Gemini, duality, kind of breaking away from each other in a sense. And next June, it's moving into Cancer, the sign of exaltation. It's going to be much, much easier. But we're definitely going to talk about the signs next in the 20th of July and what planets are exiled or fallen, because it's like the politics of planets. It's like a soap opera there. Who gets along with who? And the essence of each one of the signs and what they represent as a color, in a sense.
I mean, and I love the way you teach, and I love the way you teach that. So those who are want to join, because you do, A, you teach in a way that's so retainable because you give it such color with all of your history and philosophy and mysticism that you bring into every single ounce of astrology.
No. Astrology has it all the time. It's just that people took it out. So the
Right.
only thing I'm doing is letting them back in where they belong. It's just that for some reason, for a long time, people took it out.
Why do you think?
Because it's
Easier?
easier to, yeah, it's easier to spread it.
Yeah. Well, nobody should miss this workshop, July 20th. Den, sign up. Agal's always a genius. I learn every single time I speak to you, I learn from you. Every time I actually take one of your classes or workshops, you are such a phenomenal teacher. And I'm so grateful that you are in our orbit and keep sharing your knowledge and spreading your gifts because. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always love to do these workshops in person. We did one recently in LA, which was really fun because we combined family constellation and astrology, and we basically tried to find a representative of your sun and your moon and bring it out of your chart into people that can represent that for you. So it's always a great way to do it. We always do things in person also if you happen to be in LA, but this will be in online.
So everyone can do it everywhere and recorded. Yes. So if you miss July 20th, but you want to do it, just it will be there for you waiting. And you can watch it over and over again.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.